You're listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. For hundreds of ideas, free experiments and more, go to physicseducation.com.au. And now, here's your host, Ben Newsom.
When you ask a student what do they think a major sports team actually does, they'll inevitably tell you that it's what happens out on the field. It's all about the players. And often they'll tell you, hey, they're going to be a major sports star too. And that's a great thing. However, I wonder how many kids realise just how much science is actually involved in a major sporting team. Our next guests certainly know a lot about this. They're from the GWS Giants, which is a major sporting team in Western Sydney. In this interview, we get into all sorts of science, including how teams actually work with high-performance coaches and physiologists and psychologists to get the best out of their sports stars. We also look at how it's so important that major sports teams work directly with community groups and school groups to really get our youth into education. Plus, they also talk about their own experiences as classroom teachers prior to joining the GWS Giants.
This is the Physics Ed Podcast.
My name is Ben Newsom from Physics Education, and I'm really excited this week to bring you a bit of a different interview. It's going to be the guys from the education outreach team of the GWS Giants. They are a major football team in Western Sydney. We speak a lot about science, but not just that, also talking about how they work with kids to develop their leadership and aspirational goals. Lots to talk about here. I really enjoy it, and I hope you enjoy it too. We were actually recording this in their boardroom in Sydney Olympic Park, which is certainly quite special for us. I live in Western Sydney, and I was like, wow, I'm in the sporting team's main head office, effectively. And so, ladies and gentlemen, meet Gavin Robertson, Emad Alkir, and Ali Farage from the GWS Giants.
You're listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. Why don't you book us for a science show or workshop in your school? We love seeing students get excited about science, and you will too. Go to physicseducation.com.au and click on schools for more info.
Welcome, Gav and Emad, to the Physics Ed Podcast.
How are you? Thanks for having us.
G'day, guys.
I'm well, thanks, actually, and thanks very much for the coffee. The cafe here is fantastic. If anyone's ever not been here, you really should come and visit.
Well, it's a dominant part of the design here at Giants headquarters because the cafe and the food area that you would have gone to is in between both the administration and the football. Yeah. So every day the football, be it the players and the coaches and the administration, they eat together and come together. So not many clubs do that in this country.
For one of it, it's not quite a dad joke, but certainly a melting pot. There's stuff happening all in that space.
Yeah, it is good. It makes us far more interactive club because we're a new club.
Yeah.
And we need to get to know each other and our culture pretty quickly.
Actually, that brings up the point. So there'll be there's listeners in Australia who know full well who the GWS Giants are, but as podcasts are, they're global. So who is the GWS Giants? What do you guys do for the people who've got no idea?
Well, Gav's one of the first employees, so I'll get him to give us a bit of a background on how the club was established and where we are now.
Sure. Yeah, well, back in, my previous life was a cricketer. I played cricket for Australia and New South Wales, and I did a lot of work in Western Sydney, and the AFL came to me with regard to the work that, or the knowledge I had in Western Sydney from a commercial perspective, plus I've got a radio show that goes throughout all of New South Wales and all of the Gold Coast, and the AFL were going to start two teams there. So I was a perfect fit in a way, but I saw it as a great opportunity once I heard the ideas. That it was, for me, it was all bound around legacy, around sport, health, harmony, education and employment, and it hasn't been a wrong move because it's really about being involved, kids running around, being healthy and playing the game. The more people playing the game, the better. It's not always about the team. So the thing that AFL does and the Giants do is very much focus on us playing very well, training hard, and then going into the weekend and playing for our community. And then hopefully our community enjoy the day, go home and sit at the dinner table and maybe talk about us for 4 or 5 minutes. And then that's how we connect.
I can tell you, well, you definitely connect because, I mean, I live in Western Sydney. I see kids walking around in Giants shirts around Blacktown West Point Shopping Centre. We certainly do a lot of work in Western Sydney schools, and they know who you guys are. They really do. And a lot of work has come from that, from Emad and Ali in the engagement team.
It wasn't always the case, Ben. I guess going back when we first started the campaign about who GWS Giants are, and we still actually cop that whole where are you guys from? And we say we're from the Giants. So are you a basketball team? Are you a soccer team? So we still get that.
I had a kid yesterday. We're doing a program because we've been working with the Giants for several years on doing some science and education and with the Giants at schools. And I said, who are the Giants? And a kid in year one stood up and go, they're really big people who crush things when they stand on them. I said, yes, they are.
We crush the opponents these days, not anyone else.
So the GWS part was the first time the acronym had ever become serious. It was it was never really a part of business or the business sector in Western Sydney. Yeah. And we are the Greater Western Sydney Giants, but we've probably moved where fans now really just call us the Giants per se. But I think about where we started and you've got to remember that not only the players but the fans went through 2 or 3 years of being completely dominated by other teams and being able to come to games and then walk home having lost most of them. It's not easy, but it builds a part of your culture and your resolve.
And this is one of the things that really attracted me to working with the Giants in the first place. So we've been working with the with Imad and Ali in the engagement side of things with schools about teaching science and leadership and aspirational skills all together in workshops. And the community work is outstanding, actually. Imad, do you want to point out just some of the stuff that you guys have been doing?
So we launched our Giants Care Initiative, which is a corporately sponsored initiative that allows the club to go out to, last year was over 10,000 students in school programs.
Yeah.
This year we'll see over 12,000 to 13,000 schools programs or students participating in our programs. Programs vary from science programs with physics education. So this year we're running a Giants Buzz and a Giants Pressure and a Giant Moves, all targeted from at students from kinder all the way to year six. We do a youth eco summit with a few other partners as well, with SOPA Education and Physics. We also...
You're probably wondering what that creaking is. We've got Ali sneaking into the background here, just with a big smile on his face. Ali, you probably should say g'day now you've walked away.
Hey, guys, how are you?
All right.
We like to do things informally over here. Yeah.
You've got the whole team.
Of Western Sydney and nature of the club is... It's inviting. We're really inviting. Things aren't really done formally, as Ben mentioned in the cafe. Things are really, just really easy around here, which is good.
And that's actually it. Like, people may not realise that the GWS Giants really have a stunning, not just reach, but really genuinely care about education. I mean, there's a steering committee around education which has been running for quite a while. Actually, Ali, so you've joined us, so might as well let people know about what that's been about.
Yeah, look, we've got a community advisory group. We've got a passion to providing unique educational experiences for, I guess, kids from Western Sydney, especially kids who come from a bit of a disadvantaged background, can't necessarily afford excursions or incursions. So we look at offering them a service where we'll cover the costs and subsidise the costs for these kids not to miss out on. When I was growing up, I used to miss out because we had a family of five and it was pretty expensive to get everyone to participate in the excursion.
So if I was a primary school teacher and I was thinking, right, I know I've got kids I want to teach, you know, PD, HPE, I want them to be learning about healthy living and all that type of stuff, and I've also got my science outcomes I want to get through. I guess what sort of stuff are you guys doing that can help, at least on the primary school level, to, you know, work with healthy living and nutrition stuff?
So like I was mentioning earlier, we've got three fabulous programs. Everything's obviously linked back to the curriculum and to the syllabus. We have our Giant Moves targeted at kindergarten to year two. Obviously, Ben knows a bit more about it, but I'm going off me. So you're talking to a non-science person,
yep.
But can still obviously tell you how important it is. We teach the kids about movement, so push, pull, and those sort of things at a very young age, which is really good. Again, targeted at the year three to six, we have two programs against from the syllabus perspective around electricity and around pressure, and the feedback has been fabulous. So they've been developed recently due to the such a popular intake from our previous programs.
But I even think about like your other work that you do with some of your sponsors through Giants Care. The like, for example, the cook-offs you guys did, and that's a good thing to describe around nutrition.
I think the fact that the kids get together and work as a team and then they make a meal and they're really well advised from, you know, people who, you know, leading chefs in the industry, and they know what they're doing. And then they create a meal, and then we create a competition where they're actually judged, and it's like a MasterChef type of thing, but they get judged and they look forward to winning. But it's more, in the end, they learn that they worked together on something, and then they actually got an outcome, and it was really enjoyable. It was more than edible. It was nice. And I think that they learn things about what is in food, why those types of foods, you know, are good for you. Because like what Ali was talking about before, how we grew up, myself and Eman and Ali, we sort of grew up in an environment where you got to eat whatever you could get.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it was like there was a packet of chips and a can of Coke. You know, I'd be eating that at lunchtime because sometimes that's all I had, or that's all Mum could afford. Or, you know, it was like by kids learning that about food and its nutrition benefits, and then on the back of that, from a sporting perspective, health, they get those two things right going forward.
Yeah.
Their mind and their way of thinking, the framework, is in a much better place.
The beauty about it is, as you can imagine, kids are going to identify more with footy stars than any science expert, always, at all times. And so I often think about some of the work that you guys do with the marginalised groups, especially in early high school, some of the stuff you've been doing with Rudy Hill and so on. Maybe go into sort of stuff just as a high school teacher, what sort of things can we be involved with the Giants that really could get their kids back into learning, not just science, but generally just engaging back with their school?
Yeah, well, I guess our two main programs, when we first initiated, I guess, this educational sort of suite of programs, was our Stand Tall and our goal-setting program. And pretty much our dedication success was about encouraging young kids to have an aspiration to get somewhere one day.
Yep.
And not phasing away from the reality. Life's tough, and for some people it's tougher for them than others.
Yeah.
And but what we really care about is, how do you reflect on your day today and say, do you know what, I want to make a bit of a change today, and small steps. And we're not magicians. Our words are, I guess, a spell to get your life back on track straight away. But we share our story, and I share a story with the kids about failing a subject every semester at university. And for the sheer fact, then they say to me, oh, how did you become a teacher? And I say to them, the university that I graduated first up said, no, I couldn't get into the university to do teaching because my score at my degree was too low. And I said to them, you can't tell me what I can and can't do.
Yeah, that's right.
If I've got a goal and an aspiration, I want to do it, then I'm going to go chase that. So I went to Newcastle University, and I live in Auburn, and it's a three-hour trip. And then I said to the kids, but if I was to give in to what I wanted to achieve, then I would have just become something else. And sometimes what we tend to do is we look for the easy options. The easy option is to say, my dad's a plumber, I'll just become a plumber. Nothing wrong with becoming a plumber, but if that's not your passion, don't feel forced to do it. Look at something that you really want to do and you're passionate about, and do it. Because the last thing you want to be doing is either studying something that you don't like or being in a job that you don't like. Because you're going to hate every day.
This really reminds me of a collaboration that we did with the Giants, with Sydney Olympic Park and Macquarie University, which was that. Remember that program we did a couple of years ago, Leadership, It's Not Rocket Science? Because we had to get a pun in there. But this was a bit of fun because we connected with kids in Casino in northern New South Wales, in Western Sydney, and it was from Rudy Hill. And that was your Indigenous Academy as well, wasn't
Correct,
it?
Correct, yes.
Yeah, and that was over 5 weeks where we run video conferencing science education programs where, yes, they came in and did science stuff, but it went beyond that. It was about learning to be leaders in community-minded people.
Yeah, that's correct, and it really worked well because at the same time we're getting young Aboriginal kids to connect with another place and another people and share their story about their place and community. But at the same time, Benny, you'll remember when we did the experiment, we would reflect on characteristics of a leader or characteristics of the experiment that comes back to leadership. And if you remember the egg drop challenge.
Yeah.
And we said, we talked about the hardness of a shell.
Yep.
And not cracking. And sometimes we insulate all our problems. We don't let it come out. We don't share. We don't seek support. We feel a bit embarrassed. But sometimes you just got to let it split.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, actually using these experiments as analogies for other things has certainly grabbed kids' attention, especially for the kids who genuinely just didn't care about the science. They just wanted to do other stuff.
Not only that, what we find, obviously, working with young people is that sometimes they think, or if they haven't seen something, for instance, a football player, they think that that person's on a different level. A lot of the students that we bring into the club, and they'll meet one of the players and they'll be, oh, is that a, he plays on the TV on the weekend?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he's a full-time player, whether he even is, sometimes it's the captain, Cullen Ward, coming in and being a guest judge, or it's the coach, Leon Cameron, coming in being, and the kids, they sort of, they're taken back because they think, but he's a famous person, how's he just interacting with us normally? And from our perspective, it's about showing kids that, no, you can become anything, that they are just normal people and that were young like you were, and a lot of them were disadvantaged like you were and didn't have the opportunities, but they created those opportunities. Well, so how can you, as a young person, create those opportunities?
Yeah, I think we're now dealing with the new drug, and that is the internet and social media and opinion.
Yep.
And when, you know, we were growing up, we didn't have to deal with that, but I look at young people now and they are so judged from an array of different people, angles, administrations. It's difficult. And I think with the leadership aspects, we try and clean that up and try and get people back to understanding themselves, understanding family and understanding community. You know, and the more you can care for those things, the more within your life that is shared. And I think that we can move kids away from being insular,
yep,
and being more group orientated and more help orientated, because it's the give and you will receive. It's a very long adage, old adage, sorry, but we're in a difficult time right now in community or society. So
very true. And actually what Emad was just saying about they think it's just the guys running around the field. Now clearly that's the heart of the club, we get that, but I mean, we're sitting here in the boardroom of the GWS Giants, but we're surrounded not just by players, but there's accountants, physiotherapists, nutrition. Tell us a bit about just the buzz that goes on a day-to-day basis around this place.
The buzz has gone up a gear. And it went up a gear because we were a team that the first 3 or 4 years we were trying to survive. You know, we had to, but we had very good people like Kevin Sheedy who said, imagine if we just won one quarter, not a whole game, but what if we won one quarter as 19-year-old kids 1 year out of high school, and we beat one quarter against Geelong or Hawthorn or somebody who's one of the top teams in the country. That's achievement, and that's where we started. And then we've been getting better and better. And then we had two really important things happen. We had the Giants netball team come in,
yep,
to the club, and then we had the Giants women's team come in. And for me, it turned the place into more than a club. It was almost like a small city.
It is.
And the girls here changed the dynamic. Their involvement in the club, their involvement in people who work here, their interest in you as a person makes them interesting straight away. And, you know, we are a broadened community here of not just an AFL men's team, but the AFL women's team are astonishing. Their energy levels are through the roof, as is the Giants women's team in netball. And I don't think we could have ever imagined ourselves being a part of something that's not really been done before in Australian sport.
Well, speaking of which, I mean, there's one of the highlights of the calendar, I must say, for us. We were just talking about this before we started the recording. You guys have a fantastic iftar celebration. I just wanted the listeners, especially in the schools, to just understand just this is not just a shallow reach into the community. They genuinely really are about community. Tell us about the iftar.
So the iftar is obviously, for those that aren't aware, there's a month in the Islamic calendar called Ramadan where Muslims fast for a month. So from sunrise to sunset, we don't eat anything, basically. And every night we feast, break our fast. And part of the culture and religion is how do you share that meal. So the club and AFL as a whole organisation took on the initiative of how can we bring people together, how can we use sport, especially AFL, as a vehicle to bring people together. So we do hold an iftar dinner,
yep,
we have about 250 guests from a range of different backgrounds and religions and nationalities, and that's what the club's about. We always say, how can the outside community reflect who we are? And we try to show that. So we have so many different organisations and so many different community workers
and schools
teachers
are helping.
And schools and... It's opening up the doors for everyone to be involved with a football club. Because sometimes, like I was saying earlier, we get that presumption, oh, it's a football club, I can't go there. I can't be involved. But no, we really do have those doors open. Yeah. Come be involved. Come have a coffee in the cafe. Come be involved in some of our programs. And it's not only that. We also cater for the Indian community. We do a lot with the African community. We do a lot with the disadvantaged communities. So it really is open to everyone. So anyone that wants to get involved, we always find a way to get them involved.
Well, last year we had the marquee set up, but we also had on either side, you know, a dozen different types of foods from different nationalities, and that was astonishing. I thought that was, you know, where you can be one end eating African food, the other end you're eating Turkish food, in the middle you're eating Indian food. It was, I think it's interesting that we're a broadened sense of how we think.
Yeah, and the kids themselves
are not defined in.
It is, and so many people are involved. Like, you've got everyone from Diabetes New South Wales there through to Oxander Education. You've got so many people involved in this place. It's stunning. Now, I'm just sort of just thinking, like, okay, I'm sitting with, you know, obviously some people are heavily involved with University Giants, but also people who have taught in classrooms. So I'm just purely out of interest because, what are some of the best things that you've seen happen for teaching in a class where you've gone, you know what, this has just grabbed the kids' attention. My gosh, especially if you go around the science area, which sort of work, but even just broadly, nutrition, health, what are the sort of things that just seem to just shine?
Look, my favourite experiment, being a primary school teacher and teaching year three and year five and year six, was always around electricity and bringing the lemons in and then telling kids, can we generate enough electricity out of lemons to turn on a light bulb?
Can we?
Yes, you can.
I've seen the Giant Buzz show a few times, so I'm interested to see if Ali has the answer.
Ali, go ahead, mate.
So the beauty about it is, how do you get into a pedagogy where you're letting kids explore it's not about the teacher stepping back, but it's about the teacher becoming a facilitator and a coach rather than a dictator. And rather than sitting at the front of the classroom giving them a sheet about electricity and getting them to write it down. But how do you get kids to start to explore? How do you get them to start to become, I guess, people of questions? Why would he give us a lemon? Can it generate enough electricity? What is in a lemon to give you electricity? And then for them to find, a resolution for themselves and come back to you and discuss it. One and the beauty about it was one person's answer was different to the other.
Totally.
And that's what science as a KLA gives you an opportunity to do that.
Actually, this is exactly what Isabel Kingsley said from the Museum of Applied Arts and Sciences. For those people, the museum used to be called Powerhouse Museum. That's exactly what she said in a few episodes ago about be a facilitator, not almost a dictator. You don't want to be that.
But that's what physics education, I'm going to give Ben a bit of a plug. His team do a fabulous job in doing that. Just the way that you guys facilitate your programs, and that's what we're obviously still on board with you guys. But and the feedback that comes back from the schools, we're talking about schools that obviously are already teaching that stuff. Yep. But the way that it's taught is absolutely fabulous, and that's why us as a club love jumping on board with that, because we see the outcomes that it has to those schools, to those disadvantaged schools that can't afford maybe to bring in a science provider, that can't afford to buy the equipment to run a science experiment, that don't have the facility. So having partners like Physics Education on board doing that for us is huge for the club.
Oh, I think we have an ability. I've been in a few classrooms, not as many as Emad and Ali, but I've walked into some noisy classrooms, and by the end of it, they're quiet. And I think it's a real compliment to the team with regard to how they do their work. They find ways of getting the kids interested, and immediately they themselves become interesting. Yeah. And I think it's an adage for life. I think as Ali was speaking about before about passions, but you know, find out what you are interested in.
Yeah,
it's never really worked from there on.
Well, that's true. I mean, always anyone who's ever been in classrooms for more than a week or so, eventually there comes a point where it just completely goes pear-shaped. Now, this is something I often bring up in these discussions, because I'm always, I know it's almost like perversely interested, but I always feel that you grow more from failure than you do from success, and that's exactly what Ali was kind of talking about. And so I guess just as there'll be some people here who are brand new into teaching and just got into out of university, or maybe they're not teachers, they're in a museum as a new science communicator, and you're watching people who just seem to just have it. It's almost like it's too easy for them. But in behind the scenes, they've gone through bits where it's just things have just not gone right. So I'm just interested, have you ever had experiences in the classroom where it's just gone, you know what, I know where this is going, and what am I going to do about it next?
Oh, we've had plenty of experiences that have failed.
Does it ever stop you not failing? That's the
no, it doesn't. You just fail better.
Yeah.
Look, then again, it's a passion that drives you. And to be honest with you, it's a lot of people turn around and say, oh, why are teachers complaining about pay? They get 12 weeks off in the year and this, that. But I remember, and I show a lot of respect to teachers, because I say it's exactly the same level as a doctor, because you're actually teaching young people how to read and write and count and explore things, where you're at a profession that you're actually teaching someone the most crucial things in life. But the respect for teaching as well is, I remember I used to go to school at 7 in the morning and I never used to leave till 7 at night. Why? Because you had that passion of being interesting to the students tomorrow.
I guarantee there'd be listeners who'd know the same thing. I mean, they say you're on holidays, but you know full well that a week prior to starting, you're lesson planning, you're dealing with stuff. And by the way, we really are sitting in the Giants boardroom just outside the window. We've got, that's not a line marker. It's something going past to cut up the grass.
Yeah, edge cutter there. We've got the line marker out as well.
Yeah, I mean, it is. We're right in the season. Actually, we're at the Giants. I'm going to ask, how are you guys going? At this point, in May, the 11th of May, 2017, of course, when you listen to this, it'll be later on.
Well, right now, there's a bunch of scientists about 30 metres to the right of us, and they're called physiotherapists, and they're trying to get 8 or 9 players back on the field. We've had probably a bigger injury start to this season than we've had before.
You're right.
So, like all things, it's important that the role of physiotherapist team or the medical team plays is key to how any team sport goes throughout an entire year. You got to manage your list well. You've got to have a bit of luck with injury. But all of those smarts come into getting players back on the field earlier. We're 5-2 at the moment. That's not a bad start.
That's a great start. And actually what you're just saying then about physiotherapists, I mean, anyone who's worked in physiotherapy, we've got a couple of staff who've gone through that. They're just finishing off their degrees right now. The research is ongoing. I'd imagine that some of those would be working directly with universities.
Yeah, we've got a couple of PhD students at the moment in the football department studying different things that are key to the club. And then, again, that research will be based on performance, based on the athletes that we have here and the continuous development of where the side will go from an athletics performance perspective. We've got one of the best leaders in the sport with high performance, with David Joyce. And I guess we take our core business is footy, but every other part of the business is as crucial as the person that runs onto the field.
Oh, that's awesome. Look, thanks very much, guys, for popping in. Look, I really respect your time for popping in here, because you guys are flat out, especially early in the season. You've got stuff to do. But, of course, there'll be schools and teachers wanting to connect with you guys and beyond, for all we know. So how could an educator get in touch and start getting involved more with the GWS Giants?
Yeah, the best way to do that is, obviously, we have our website, and all our community programs fall under the Giants Care Initiative. So if you jump onto our website, gwsgiants.com.au, and find the Giants Care link, we'll have heaps of our past programs and programs we're doing at the moment, and there'll be a link there to a phone number or email. Ask for Imad Elki or Ali Faraj or Gav Robinson or Ashley Crossan. And I'm sure one of us will be able to assist you guys in whatever way.
What we might do as well, as part of the podcast, we'll give you an email that we can put on, and we'll be email. Email. If you contact him directly, then we'll offer you a program in your school.
No worries. And what we'll do, we'll put those all in the show notes as well, so that you can definitely get those. And I really do. I encourage everyone to just think broadly that science isn't just in a lab. It's happening everywhere. It's around you. And, seriously, check out the Giants, what they're getting up to. And if you're in another country, maybe approach your own sporting team nearby that you're into and say, hey, why don't you copy what the Giants Care initiatives are all about? Well done, guys. Thanks very much for coming.
Thank you very much, Ben.
Thank you.
This is the Physics Ed Podcast. We're all about science, ed tech, and more. To see 100 fun free experiments you can do with your class, go to physicseducation.com.au. That's physics spelled F-I-Z-Z-I-C-S. And click 100 free experiments.
And there we go. That was Gavin Robinson, Imad Elkir, and Ali Faraz from the GWS Giants. That was quite a different interview, but certainly loved it all the same. I mean, these guys have a real passion for how kids learn and engage with a community, and it really shines through. They are not just about getting a football team out onto the field. They really aren't. And I can tell you, the amount of work they do with their community is stunning. And look, there's quite a few things we could have taken away from that interview. I certainly did. I was writing different ideas down as I was listening to that interview myself. And I'm sure there's some things that you can be looking at yourselves in your own education environments. Now, one of the things that certainly grabbed my attention was careers. How are you teaching kids about how kids can do science in all types of industries? We need to be taking as many opportunities when it comes to students to show that careers in science exist in so many industries. Manufacturing, shipping, cosmetics, the food industry, it doesn't matter. There's always a scientist, a technologist, an engineer, someone developing the programs and products and things that makes things tick, and not just develop them, improve them and test them and make sure they do what the claims actually are. It's really important. In this case, the Giants very much work with scientists when it comes to getting their athletes to recover after a major game, making sure that they're training as effectively as possible and not doing it too low or too high, not having a high impact or a low impact on their athletes, getting them at the optimum level, because that's exactly what happens when it comes to elite sport. So certainly show your kids as many different ways that scientists can actually work. Another thing I took away was, try and teach in a way that kids are actually interested in. I mean, it seems almost obvious when it comes down to it, but if the kids love sport, well, try and twist some of your teaching around, sport. Is there an opportunity to learn from people who actually do this for a living? Invite a physiotherapist in, invite a sports scientist in, and find out what they actually do on a daily basis to get people back on the field if they're a sports person, to find out what they do when it comes to injury management, find out what they do for peak performance management. There's so many things that they could be bringing in. And look, students would love it, especially when it comes from the people who actually do this on a daily basis. And the final thing that grabbed my mind was going beyond science teaching. Our job is simply to inspire kids, period, to model lifelong learning. Now, I know lifelong learning gets thrown out as a cliche often. However, I love the quote that Ali Faraz said, "You can't tell me what I can and can't do." I mean, knowing Ali, I know it's exactly the way he is and the way he thinks. He very much is, "I can do this." And that's exactly what we need to be modeling our students. You know, we should be teaching them to give in. We should be telling them, don't look for the easy option. Push as hard as you can. And yes, you can rise above and all the different other cliches you've heard before. And you know what? The Giants are doing a fantastic job and they're very good at getting kids to see their future. And it's fantastic.
Thanks for listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. Love your science? We do too. Here's this episode's education tip of the week. Grab your pencil and get ready to make some notes.
So here's another idea that you could be using to teach all your different topics in your classroom and help reach all the students who are sitting in your classroom. This week, I'd like you to have a think about who might be colorblind in your classroom. Now, I'm actually colorblind. I am mildly red-green colorblind. And I remember when I was a kid, kids would often hear when I had colorblindness that hold up different colored pencils and say, "What color is this? What color is this?" And I'd inevitably say, "That's a red one, that's a green one, that's a blue one, that's a yellow one." But the thing is, when it comes to people who are colorblind, and I know there'll be some people listening who know full well this, is that we see the world slightly differently. Certain mixes of colors are difficult to differentiate. It's really hard to work out what is what. Think of it from a child who's colorblind in your classroom. Can they see everything that's actually happening? I mean, the extreme example is writing with light pink chalk on a light green blackboard. I know that when I used to sit at the back of the class, I really couldn't see what the teacher was writing. And annoyingly for the teacher, I didn't tell them. I would sit at the back and go, "Yep, yep, sir, I totally get what you're saying," and try and sort it out myself. But, you know, to my own detriment. think of your students and the way you're designing your experiments. I mean, I'll give you an actual genuine example when it comes to science teaching. When I was in high school, we had to run chemical titrations with methyl red indicator. Now, for the normal color vision student, this is not an issue. However, for me, I couldn't really see the distinct change between red to orange to yellow in the different pH solutions. What this means is that I would completely miss the endpoint of my titration. So that means that my volumes are completely out, and then I got no idea how much of a particular chemical I actually had. Now, it doesn't seem like a major issue in high school. However, the same experiment was done in university with a chemistry practical exam, and that is really a bit of an issue that I couldn't see the endpoint in my titration. Just think about how you're structuring your lessons from a PowerPoint and animations and written word point of view, or the actual experiments the kids are doing. Just make sure the kids can actually see what's going on.
This is the Physics Ed Podcast. We're excited about science. Grab a copy of our new book, Be Amazing, How to Teach Science the Way Primary Kids Love, from our website. Just search Be Amazing Book. It's available in hard copy and ebook. Go to physicseducation.com.au. That's physics spelled F-I-Z-Z-I-C-S.
One of the things that becomes really apparent when you speak with the guys from the GWS Giants is how much they care about teaching kids to deal with adversity. And last episode, Karen Player from the Australian Museum certainly had a bit of an issue when it came to teaching kids in a video conference. Well, take a listen.
Halfway through, I think the second one, we got someone come up and just say, the entire network is about to shut down at the Australian Museum. We have a flood in the server room. So luckily I had a couple of moments warning, and I was able to, you know, let the people that were participating with it at the time saying, I think in a few moments we're going to be disconnected. This is why we'll reschedule. And sure enough, 5 minutes later, everything went off. So we did have a heads up, but that's one of the things, completely a technical issue, completely outside the realms of anything we could do.
Oh boy, that would be a serious problem. And you can imagine how that would have felt when you're trying to teach multiple classes, a program on natural history across New South Wales, and your server room's about to get flooded. Look, Karen Player had a lot to speak with in our last episode, and you really should check it out. She's a fantastic friend and also a brilliant educator who's been working for 20 years in Australian Museum, Australia's oldest museum, filled with a whole bunch of natural history objects, and she's worked at the front of house, back of house, as well as teaching all over Australia and beyond via video conference. And if you haven't already, I definitely recommend you check it out.
Thanks for listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. Sign up now for our fortnightly email newsletter. It's loaded with details on new experiments you can do, STEM teaching articles, new gadgets, exclusive offers, and upcoming events. Go to physicseducation.com.au. Scroll to the bottom and add your email.
And that just about brings us to the end of yet another Physics Ed podcast. Hey, jump on the website. There are so many free things that'll help you teach science in the way that kids will actually care about. Look, there really is. There's over 150 free experiments. I mean, they're really just adding up. There's over 160 teaching articles. So it's just, well, I'd suggest probably just jump on the search box and type in things. There's so many things that can certainly help you. And if something's not there, hey, throw us a line. Let us know you'd like something written up, and we certainly will go about doing it. And speaking of helping you, next week we are catching up with Mandy Dimitriadis from Maker's Empire. Maker's Empire is a fantastic company who hails out of Adelaide, but now operates in Australia, USA and China, teaching kids design thinking through 3D printing. I know you'll get a lot out of it. And as always, may your science lessons be as fun and as informative as possible, and please make sure they grab your students' imagination. My name is Ben Newsom from Physics Education, and you've been listening to the Physics Ed Podcast.
You've been listening to another Physics Ed Podcast. We're excited about science. Subscribe to us on iTunes to download the next episode as soon as it's released. And don't forget, for hundreds of ideas, free experiments, our new Be Amazing book, and more, go to physicseducation.com.au.